Hello, and thank you for listening to That's the Show. We really appreciate it. If you feel so inclined, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and write a review. If you write a good review, hey, we might shout you out on the podcast. Check us out on Spotify, Google, Twitter.com, and check us out there. And yeah, thank you guys for listening. And here's the show.
Yo, how you doing, bro?
I have no idea.
Oh, what?
Well, hold up, I got a show idea.
Oh, yeah?
My guy Mike and the good brother Edgar, they write a TV pilot together.
And then what?
Well, then they pitch to you. Psych is a podcast you can listen to.
And if it's good,
they can sell it for real and you can listen to it free.
That's a hell of a deal. But then what?
Well, that's the show.
What?
Well, that's the show.
All right.
That's the show.
Hello and welcome to That's the show where we write a pilot one episode at a time. Please welcome my co-host and co-writer, Edgar Malpasir.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I know we had some technical difficulties and I want to bless you for sticking by your guest.
Who's our guest?
Myself.
You're our guest?
Am I your guest?
Please welcome our writer's assistant. You know her from her podcast, Hawkeyes, which I am recording this weekend.
Yeah.
Please welcome Harper Thompson.
Hi.
Hi, Harper.
The girl with two last names.
I have three last names. Harper Blakely Thompson.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Do you feel like it's clearly something you've been aware of because you instantly were like, I have three last names.
Yeah, I feel like, well, my parents wanted, I feel like it's important for them, it was important for them that if I were to become, like, a writer or something, that I had a good name, you know? So the full name. And also, it's very important to my mom that I include Blakely when I introduce myself, because it's her last name. So, it's a part of me.
So like your parents wanted you to be a writer?
Or something, yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy that your parents support your dreams like that.
They might have wanted you to be an assassin, because assassins all have, like, three names.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Are you one? You're not one.
Who can say?
Wait, name me another assassin that has three names that's not named John Wilkes Booth.
Mark David Chapman.
Ooh, wow. What about the nigga who killed Kennedy?
Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, what about the nigga who shot Reagan randomly?
Oh, I don't know that guy.
I don't remember his name.
Who was obsessed with the girl from fucking Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
Bridget Fonda. Or no, Jane Fonda? Wait, who was in Taxi Driver? I can't remember. Was it a Fonda?
No, it was Freaky Friday, but the first one.
Yeah.
That's Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster. But he had a copy of To Catch a Mockingbird, or To Kill a Mockingbird. On him, right? Or no, it was Catcher in the Rye.
John Hinckley Jr. is the Reagan guy.
Damn, that's three names.
Are we counting
Almost.
Juniors?
I don't know.
You gotta count. It's a suffix. You gotta count it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not? How's everybody doing? Edgar, you just wrapped up on the show you were writing on, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, man. You know, I want to shout out to the Dear White People's Writers Room. It was a great experience. It was a very nice last day. We did this thing where we toasted to everybody, and everyone, like, went around. And when it was your turn, everyone said some really nice shit about you, what they liked about you, what they're going to miss about you. So I was very emotional. I cried. It was a nice send-off. And, you know, I just really hope that we can get this shit figured out, like, especially rapid testing, so that we can begin production and we can get the season to y'all, because I think it's going to be a fire season.
Nice. That sounds really nice. Give people their flowers while they're still here, as the saying goes.
Yeah, but I'm dead, so it don't matter.
Dead inside.
No, I'm dead. Have you been? Real.
Shit. You know what that means? If we sell this thing, 100% of the money goes to me.
Nah, you have to give it to my children, my 50.
Harper, how have you been? You've been sparking some joy lately?
Yeah, I have been. Yeah, I've just been working on... I have an obscene amount of clothing, 125 t-shirts, and that's just t-shirts. And I have lots of every other category of clothing too. So I'm trying to get through all of it by doing like Instagram lives every day for accountability, just so I actually get through it. And then I'm taking some of those shirts and turning them into masks. So that's cool.
That's what a productive way to live your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So are I have people, a cool,
I was going to say, are people in the comments like holding you accountable?
I just have a group of friends that are really stressed out by my laundry situation.
So they're grabbing a bottle of wine and rejoicing that you're getting rid of all your shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all pretty excited about it.
I'm happy for you, bro.
Thank you.
A lot of people won't admit that, but I'll admit that. I'm happy for you.
That's big of you.
I'm happy for you, too. Edgar's saying it like, I'm not happy for you.
Nah, a lot of people, you know, they will just like make snide comments or jokes about it, but I'm happy for you.
I'm also happy for you, Harper. I want you to be happy.
Wow, I feel so much love. Thank you, guys. It's beautiful.
You're welcome. A lot of people wouldn't say you're welcome, but I'll say you're welcome.
You know what happened between last episode and this episode?
What?
I made a final beat sheet.
That's right, man. Shout out to Benner.
Well, he not really final. Close to final.
Nah, man. Yeah. You put your work into this, man. So we did have that meeting, like we said we were going to have, where we really dived in and talked about the story. You know, we argued. We made love. It was great. And look, man, I went through this. This shit's dope, man. This shit's fire. So I think let's read it.
Yeah, we're going to read it and maybe talk some notes, maybe spark some new joy from the content we see in front of us, and then, you know, we'll talk about where to go from there before the episode ends.
All right, so, Benner, can I make a request? Can you read it? Because I am a terrible reader.
Yeah, sure. Just jump in, because I hate the sound of my own voice, like, very much. So, okay, like, if I'll have to edit this episode and hear large chunks of my own voice. Okay,
you do act one, I'll do act two. And then we'll split act three.
No, I'm happy to do the whole thing. I
no,
just want you to
Benner,
jump in
I heard
have a conversation.
You. Benner, I heard you loud and clear.
Look, to me, the creative process is a conversation. Okay?
Oh, boy.
A conversation with yourself and the people you're collaborating with.
Oh, boing.
It's a collaboration between your heart and your mind and your fingers.
Benner, can I ask you something?
What?
Why is your name Airbuds on your account instead of your name? That's a pet peeve of mine when people don't have their real names on shit like this. It's like, stop fucking around. This is real shit.
This is Airbud. This is the Airbuds, my other podcast about basketball. This is our professional Zoom account.
Okay, then I respect that.
Because
I respect that.
There's no time limit, and I'm not going to pay for my own personal Zoom account.
You're right. You're right. So, I respect that. I respect that.
For a reason. Thank you.
I was hanging out with some folks on Zoom the other day, and a girl had, like, Lonely Hungry Boy as her name, and I said, that's not respectable. Have your real name up on here. That's not your name.
I was on a Zoom with someone I know, and I've been, like, we do regular, like, multiple times. It's a large friend group. There's, like, 30 of us, and, like, we're on Zooms multiple times a week. And suddenly he had, like, a woman's name on his, and I was like,
oh, wow.
Whose account did you steal, I guess, was my question.
His wife's.
Because Donald's account, well, Donald would not have a wife, if you know what I mean. But
I don't.
He's gay.
So? Yeah. Gay people can have wives, Benner. It's 2020.
That is literally true. It's also true for, like, 1959.
Yeah.
Like, all gay people had wives.
Hella gay. In the 50s, every gay dude had a wife.
Yeah.
Harper, do you co-sign right. that?
Yeah, I watch Mrs. America. I know.
That show's so good. FX on Hulu, baby.
It's so good. Everyone's so hot on that show. It's wrong.
Yeah. I tweeted this joke, but I'll say it again. I feel like the casting directors just like watched every show on television and was just like, yeah, we can put that person in our show. Like, there's not a single mm-hmm. actor that you can name that's on TV right now that's not on their show.
Pretty much, yeah.
I have no idea what this show is.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't. You gotta watch it. Of course you don't know about this show about second wave feminism. Of course you don't.
You know me, classic misogynist. Should we get into the beat sheet?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right. Act 1. Frankie Allen is on his way to school. He gets mocked by the kids in his neighborhood for wearing a uniform and getting bused to the early academy. This upsets him because he has a need to be well-liked.
Yeah, man. He should, like, have a basketball. He should be dribbling a basketball. While he's waiting. And we see that he has good handles.
Maybe it opens with, like, him, like, dribbling for, like, a bunch of kids. He's got, like, good handles. And he's, like, almost like putting on a show for, like, the little kids in his neighborhood.
And then his mom's...
And then the older kids show up.
Yeah.
And, like, make fun of him. And call him a sellout or whatever for going to the early academy.
I mean, they could all be at the bus stop in the neighborhood. Like, you know, like... I know, like, for me, my bus stop was also other kids' bus stops for different schools. Mm-hmm. So, like, they could all be at the bus stop. Maybe that's a good place to place this scene. Frankie takes the bus to school.
Sounds good to me. Next beat. Over at Gwendolyn's house, I gave her a last name. Gwendolyn Alden.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that makes sense to me. What kind of last name was Alden?
I think it is English, and it means, like, wise or intelligent.
Wow, Benner.
I was looking
a little on the nose.
We've talked about this, how I sometimes pick names, is that I will go and look for words that mean other things in other languages and then make, like, off rhymes for them.
Yeah.
This is a little more on the nose for me, where it literally means what it's supposed to be. But that's why I brought it up. We can beat it.
I like Alden. I'm just giving you shit, man. I like giving you shit.
But there's also the fact, now that I'm thinking about it, because I overthink everything, her dad is a cop, is a DARE officer. Is Officer Alden a funny cop name? I feel like I always want to make fun of cops as much as possible, because as we all agree, ACAB, all cops are bastards. So let's stick it to
the I don't agree with that.
You don't?
No,
we
I actually don't.
We all had the same politics.
I don't agree that all cops are bastards. I think if you generalize any job or any person or anything, you're going to end up in a bad place. You know, generalizations is what leads to kind of systematic racism and stuff like that, Benner.
I'm Antifa, so...
Oh, man. Seeing Benner's face is making this podcast experience so much better. For everyone who's listening, we did not record with seeing each other's faces up until now, and I miss seeing Benner be like, fuck this dumbass.
Okay. Well, we can think of a better last name.
I like the last name. All
right. We meet Gwendolyn Alden. She's in her bathroom, sitting on the toilet and smoking a bowl through a toilet paper roll with TP stuffed in the end. That classic trick that doesn't really work.
It doesn't work, kids. Don't do it. You're going to get caught. Every time I've done it, I've gotten caught. Don't do it.
That's our PSA for the episode. Her dad, a police officer and active in the DARE program or something similar, bangs on the door. Gwendolyn struggles to dispose of the evidence as her father yells through the door about her being late for school and reminding her about her college prep courses and studying for academic decathlon. He's pressuring her. Weed is clearly her release.
And I feel like he's being like, hey, man, you got to go because we need to get you to school. You got this. You got this. Like, he knows more about her schedule than she does. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's like...
Yeah.
That's kind of what's happening in that scene for me and all that.
Yeah, I like that. Again, it's going back to the theme of pressure and...
Pressure!
Everyone's under pressure in here. At school, we get to see Frankie in his place there. He's a star basketball player. People like him a lot, but his teammate and fellow star player, Steven Jackson, is a little more beloved. They're like brothers. They love each other, would die for each other. But Frankie is like the jealous little brother a little bit. Mm-hmm. We also see Gwendolyn getting the cold shoulder from the rest of the academic decathlon team. Something is amiss, though we don't see what it is yet.
And this is in the hallway. I think like this is like a hallway shot of all the lockers. You see everybody piling into class, and you kind of see where everyone in the school goes. Like,
yeah,
I just rewatched Meet Earl and the Dying Girl, and they have that fantastic, one word, composition. But they have that fantastic shot in the beginning when Greg enters the school, and you can see down both hallways and you can see all the different cliques and stuff. So I see that kind of vibe here of like,
yeah, I like that too. I had Freaks and Geeks in mind because they would always do like the way they frame their hallway shots a lot were like the hallway was like this one location where like
yes.
a bunch of different stories were happening.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
There was like little vignettes happening in one location, and the way they would do angle-ons and everything was like very artfully done, and yeah.
Yes.
It made the hallway seem like just like the fucking main aorta where all the action in the school took place.
I love that. I love that.
So then we jump ahead to after school. I don't know if we want to see another scene in the middle here or not, but let's get to this. After school's over, we're in the gymnasium with the basketball team and other students. They're setting up for that night's big gala fundraiser, and we meet Principal Fielder, who is eager. He's needy, pushy, annoying, and desperate for the school to succeed, which means A, fundraising, and B, good test scores.
Absolutely. I love this.
I think my thought is, between this beat and the previous beat, do we need moments where we see kind of Gwendolyn and Frankie in class or interacting with a teacher, especially now that teachers are more important to the story?
Yeah. I mean, I guess like, what information are we getting from that? Like, that would be my question. What are we learning that we don't already know?
Here's what I think could be valuable.
Yeah.
We see that Frankie and Steven as basketball players kind of get special treatment, and we see how,
yeah,
I like Frankie that. Thrives on the fact that he is well liked for his talent and everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we see how hard Gwendolyn has to struggle.
Yeah, and it could even be a teacher, like maybe the academic decathlon coach, being like, "We don't want a repeat of what happened last year, right, Gwendolyn?"
Yeah,
something to that effect.
Yeah, we double down.
Be effective. Yeah,
we double down,
and it could just be quick. A couple beats here and there. Like, it'd be quick cuts of like, they're in this class, they're in that.
I mean, here's what I like. I like class. I like if someone is just like, "Hey man, so I got your part of the group project," like Frankie, and he's just like, "It actually really wasn't that good." And then Frankie's like really nervous, but he's like, "But dude, I went ahead and I worked on all of it. It's gonna be amazing." And like, Frankie didn't even have to worry about that because I was taking care of him for him.
Yeah,
like,
he could have like just written his part of the thing about like an entirely different war by accident.
Exactly, and it's not like Frankie's a douche. He just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to. Because he has people doing this shit for him.
Absolutely.
Cool. Let's move on to these next beats. That night at the fundraiser, Principal Fielder is wooing parents and donors, touting the school's improved test scores and impressive college admission rates. Frankie and the rest of the basketball team, including Steven, are being needled by potential donors about where they're going to college, trying to sway them to their alma maters, etc. I'm almost like thinking, and tell me this is too far, obviously I'm white, but I'm thinking of like the stories of like Donald Sterling showing off like the Clippers as if they're like his players at his parties. Do you remember like reports of that?
Oh, bro, that's 100% what those schools are. That's not you being racist. That's you being truthful. Like, they would take us and show us off. Like, they would show us off to these donors and they'd be like, "This is what this kid is." I mean, it's that kind of shit. So I think 100% at this gala, he's showing off his students.
Yeah. And maybe Frankie, you know, is kind of, it feels awkward, but it's also like he's getting the positive attention he
Absolutely.
Wants.
Absolutely. It's justifying Steven, his decision to him.
Yeah, and Steven is like bristling a little bit at the idea of like having to have this attention.
Which Absolutely.
Maybe hints that he is going to act out or
yes,
whatever.
I love that color.
I love that.
And then Gwendolyn is just like not even here for it. She's high out of her fucking mind.
Yeah, Gwendolyn and the rest of the academic decathlon team are being questioned by parents about whether there will be a repeat of last year's championship. Again, maybe if we do something in class, we can take this out of there and put it there. Gwendolyn is embarrassed. When it comes time for Principal Fielder's big speech, things go awry. His PowerPoint presentation is hijacked by a video of him verbally assaulting the biology teacher, Mr. Robbins, mid-class about test scores. Before we can react, 100 frogs are unleashed upon the gala, causing people to freak out. Then someone notices that a pair of NBA player shoes donated to the fundraiser for auction have been stolen. Fielder tries to control the chaos as parents, donors, the superintendent, and everyone in between runs out screaming. I don't know if everybody will run out screaming.
I think it's just, it's clear that this is a disaster.
Yeah. That is like the most cartoony end, is like everyone like, "Frogs!" and like running. But I don't think that would really happen, right?
No.
So
you're fired.
Damn it. Look, I'm just being, look, this just goes to prove I can be self-critical. I'm self-aware. I can judge myself fairly. Edgar, compliment me on my personal growth. Harper?
Hey, yo, Harper, I like your room, man. It's very Pinteresty.
Thank you. You got a very strong color scheme.
Yeah, man. You big fan of the color yellow, huh?
I am. I do like the color yellow.
What happened in your childhood that made you a fan of the color yellow?
Coldplay.
Yeah, that's it.
Coldplay? That's
it was
funny.
All yellow.
That's a Coldplay song, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. The next day at school, every student in the auditorium, Principal Fielder paces the stage demanding information. He wants to know who's involved in this, and he wants students to volunteer information. Nobody pipes up, so Fielder announces that he's canceling all activities, including basketball, academic, decathlon, and everything else. The whole audience groans. Frankie's bummed. Gwendolyn seems actually fine with academic decathlon being canceled.
So I like this scene. I'm already thinking of the next scene, but I want something I think that we should be making sure that we're tracking and making sure it's coming clear in the outline, is that Frankie getting the testing and all that, Frankie feels like his value is coming from basketball because everyone is telling him that's where it comes from. So I think a part of Frankie's freak out is that without basketball, he feels as if he's no longer valuable. I think that's something that we have to make sure that we're tracking. Like, that feels very true to the character.
Yeah. And then, I'm thinking of, we'll talk about it. Next scene.
No, bring it up. Say it.
I was going to say, like, nah, maybe not that he doesn't have value, but he doesn't have a stage to showcase it.
I think it's that he thinks he doesn't have value. Like, I don't understand why, like, literally everyone is telling him he's valuable because he's good at basketball. That's all everyone ever asks him for. No one asks him about anything else. They don't even trust him to do his own homework. They're just like, yeah, we'll take care of this. You just dribble a ball. Like, that's what everyone's been telling him.
Got it. I think, yeah, I'm just thinking of it like I'm being nitpicky in how I think about it.
No, hit me, bro.
Because it's like he's still good at basketball, even if they take the team away. It's more like
but he can't perform like, that. So, like, it's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, there's some talented chefs out there right now. But they're, like, going crazy in their houses right now because they don't have the outlet, like you said. But that means that they're judging their sense of value right now because they don't have...
Do you think we could hire, like, a professional chef to, like, come cook in my driveway right now?
Do you know how many people...
Do you think dying to cook for people?
I think so. I mean, like, there are so many people who are at home right now who are... The way that they showcase their value has been completely taken away. And it's something that my boss told me about that made me, like blow my mind is, like, he was, like... It just shows you how many people's worth are intrinsically turned into their output. Like, that's why we're all freaking out. Like, we're all at home, but we're not producing. Therefore, I'm not, like, we're all freaking out because capitalism has made us feel like we're only as valuable as our output.
I just had the fun image in my mind of, like, all the dudes in Vegas who perform when Thunder Down Under, who, like, suddenly don't have... 200 nothing. Women a night to show their giant dicks to.
And that's how they express their output. Like, we're evaluated on depressed. Our output. Yeah, man. Shit, man. Like,
who am I if I don't have someone to show my dick to?
I hope they all have OnlyFans now so they can find that outlet.
You know what? Look, have charity in your heart. Go find an Australian man to subscribe to an OnlyFans and give them $10 a month for their dick.
If you're right now a person who... has disposable income and you're not subscribed to an OnlyFans, you're a dick. That's just me being honest. Like, you're out here watching Pornhub for free, you're a fucking dick if you have disposable income. Now, if you're someone who is struggling, go watch your Pornhub. But if you have disposable income and you're not subscribed to somebody's OnlyFans, go fuck yourself.
This is a very socialist idea.
I'm just being real, bro.
I know. Frankie goes to the basketball coach. Coach Garvey. I just named Coach Garvey. I don't know why. I think I was thinking of Steve Harvey, and then I just said Garvey.
I mean, I think what disturbs me the most is how you spelled Garvey.
How do you spell Garvey?
There's an E, bro.
Yeah, the leftovers.
You basically basically moved around the word gravy.
Gravy.
I was also eating dinner at the time. No,
you just moved around the word gravy.
Coach Gravey and says this can't be true. Coach Gravy says it is. There's nothing he can do. Frankie asked to help him to get transferred to another school, but Gravy says it's too late in the school year. He wouldn't be eligible to play for another school. The only way out of this is for Phil to find out who did this and punish them. Frankie thinks about this. Do we want to get into Frankie being like, if I can't play basketball, I don't have any value?
I think not bluntly, but... Yeah, but I think that's the color that we have to keep in mind. And I know Harper has it in the notes, so I just need to remember to put that into the outline.
Got it. Elsewhere in the school, the academic decathlon team has cornered Gwendolyn, irate. They think she had something to do with this because she hates academic decathlon. She's like, how could I have predicted that this would happen even if I did the prank? But they're using dumb teenager logic and still blame her. This dumb teenager logic is my way of covering the logic, I think.
No, I think the logic is there where they're just like, you seem to be the only person who gains from embarrassing the school because you were embarrassed.
But there's even, no matter who did the prank, there's no way to predict that Fielder would.
I think they just
all
think
academic decathlon and everything else.
I think that they think that she's just behind the prank. Like, I don't think that they thought that it was going to get to that result. I think that they just think that she's upset and she's looking for revenge. Like, she wants to embarrass the school in the way that she was embarrassed.
So then, why do they think it's her? I guess is my question.
Because
what is the dumb teenager logic?
I don't think it's dumb teenager logic. I think they think it's her because she wants to embarrass the school, and they're like, we know that you did this. Just turn yourself in so we can get our academic decathlon back. We also have her expressing joy and relief that it's gone. Like, and so for them, they're just like, bro, whatever beef you have, like, that don't make us suffer. Just go turn yourself in.
Here's a question. A twist, okay, what if this is 10-episode season, right? What if episode 8 we learn that Gwendolyn did release the frogs?
Oh, I think that's 100% true. I think Gwendolyn did release the frogs. I was thinking about that as well. Is that I think that Gwendolyn does have something to do with this prank a little bit. And
got it.
Whether it be like, it's kind of like in Man on Fire, where Mark Anthony was responsible for fucking the kidnapping of Dakota Fanning. He just didn't think Dakota Fanning was going to die. And, like, so, like, Gwendolyn could be like, I wanted the frogs to get loose. I didn't think it was going to happen at the gala. But it like, you know what I mean? Like, it's something where she inadvertently has something to do with it, but she still has blood on her hands.
Yeah. Spoiler alert for Man on Fire, by the way.
Oh,
sorry, listeners.
Yeah, sorry you guys haven't seen that 15-year-old movie.
Great. So then here's the next question. Do they want to suspect it's her because of some stupid thing? Like, she has one of those ill-advised high school tattoos of a frog, or she, like, her favorite pipe is a frog or something?
No.
Or do we not worry about
that?
No. Okay.
That's too much. I'm gonna say that's overthinking it. I think for them it's just like if something were to happen at my school, everyone would point to me because they know who I am and they know how I feel about things. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I feel like Gwendolyn has kind of developed this reputation of having a beef with everything. And definitely, I feel like Principal Fielder probably chewed her out for losing. Like, you know, like,
got it.
I feel like everyone was just like, we feel like you're someone who has beef with the school.
Cool. I just wanted to throw that out there. So we pressure tested it, make sure it's going to hold. One other academica teammate lingers behind and threatens Gwendolyn to either confess or find out who did it, or else they're going to tell her DARE officer dad about how she does drugs.
Okay. Question. How about this? Here's how I think we can address your note. They don't all accuse her. They all just say, Gwendolyn, did you do this? Like, if anyone, like, you know, like, they're fucking around. Everyone else on Academic is like, if someone would do it, it's Gwendolyn. Like, you know, like, they're all fucking around like that. And then that one person stays behind. That one dude stays behind and goes, it was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. That's like, that's probably eases it in a little bit more for me.
Yeah, like,
smart. smart execution.
Edgar. Everyone in academics is talking about who it could be, and someone brings up the idea of how it could be Gwendolyn, and they're all laughing about it and explaining why it could be and all this stuff. And then one dude stays behind and is just like, it was you, wasn't it? And Gwendolyn's like, no, it wasn't. Like, shut the fuck up. You get us back our thing, or I'm telling your dad about your weed smoking.
Cool. I like that. So, yeah, he'll tell her dad about the weed smoking, and that's why she bombed last year's academic decathlon championship. Maybe that's the moment we find out what actually happened with her, or no?
I have a note for later about this, but yes, I think that he talks about, like, I think you're right that, like, she partied. Like, there's a party that I think that happens often that I feel like we should put in the world of our show. Like, either, like, everyone knows, like, I don't know. I have, like, this, like, thing of, like, there's, like, a family, like, the Spencers that have, like, 9 kids. And so for generations at this school, the Spencer house has always been the party house. So, like, the Spencer kid this year is going to throw that party, but there's a Spencer kid last year that also threw that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a thing, like, that family has always. So, like, we know that the Spencer party is coming back again. I feel like that's a fun thing to plant. And he's just like, we all know that you got wasted at the Spencer party, and that's why you, like, perform so ass. And look, everyone takes pictures at the Spencer party, and I have so many pictures of you that I would love to turn into your dad.
Love it. Great. Let's plant the Spencer party, because then that hints at the fact that, you know, episode 5 might be the Spencer party episode.
Exactly. Like, he says last year's Spencer party. So we're just like, okay, there might be a this year Spencer party.
Yeah. Gwendolyn and Frankie decide separately, I need to solve this crime. That's kind of how Act 1 ends.
I love that.
Act 2. Is this McDonald's? Because it sounds like Edgar is loving it.
Act 2. Frankie has a yearbook trying to figure out who would have released 100 frogs into the gala. He turns the page and lands on the Reptile Club. That's where he'll start. Okay, so based off of your pitch, I love that Gwendolyn doesn't even investigate the frogs thing.
Yeah.
That's some smart logic, Sif. Yeah.
Here's a question. Are frogs a reptile?
I thought about that when you said it last week, and I don't know the answer. I think they're amphibians.
Harper, what do you know?
I think frogs are amphibians and toads are reptiles. Is that right? Is that
a Both thing? Frogs oh, and okay. toads are amphibians.
Yeah, I see that now. But here's my pitch. Maybe we don't correct it, just because, like, that could be a fun thing. Frankie doesn't know the difference. I didn't know, so maybe Frankie doesn't know.
He goes
to the reptile club, and they're like, frogs aren't reptiles.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
He's just using his brute force, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that color.
Okay, separately, Gwendolyn thinks about who would steal the NBA player's shoes in the auction. The frogs were clearly a distraction, so they could pull off the theft. She begins looking for kids with size 17 feet at school.
Okay, that's my only... That was my trip, is like... The value of those sneakers goes beyond being able to wear them on your feet. Like,
true. That's a good point.
Like, there's signed autographed sneakers. Like, I think that she can look for people who, like, you know, how many kids have 17? I see what you're trying to narrow the pool, but I feel like that is just like, she just, like, goes to the stoner kids, or she goes to, like, you know, something like that.
Well, who would? Okay. Is she going to be invested? So, one reason to steal. I'm thinking of, like, the Louis episode where he, you know, and look, I don't endorse Louis. I know Edgar loves Louis. He just saw his special.
And was it good? And I told Harper that she can't come back on the show until she watches it.
Yikes.
Edgar just muted Harper. I don't know if anybody. That episode where it's all him in middle school.
Yes.
He's not even in the episodes, and he's stealing the scales in order to buy weed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, it could be a thing like that where the logic is like, why would someone steal, like, a pair of $1,000 shoes because they want to buy? Because I'm Gwendolyn, my logic is they would buy weed. Is that why she would go to the stoners?
I think she's just like, all right, here's this, Ben. If someone got stolen at your school, think about high school. If something got stolen at your school, would there be a group of kids where you're just like, it was probably these kids?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the group of kids that she goes to. I don't know what class that kids are. For me, it's immediately racist. But like at my school, I know exactly what kids stole that shit. Like, I'd be like, it's these fucking kids. They stole it.
Yeah. I feel like it would be racist too in my school.
But that's where Gwendolyn could start, because that's what Gwendolyn doesn't have. Gwendolyn doesn't have the cool factor. That's what Frankie has. He fucks with everybody.
That could also be a thing where she's like maybe investigating who would steal this pair of like autographed Jordans, like the biggest hype beast in school or something.
Yeah, exactly. She goes to the hype beast kids.
The Supreme, yes. The Supreme outfit. The kid but who's like wearing the Supreme jacket.
But they don't like fuck with her. They don't fuck with her. Yeah. It's like, why would we talk to you? We don't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That to me feels like the area for it. That's a little stronger.
Harper, you're getting this down?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But the hypebeast kids don't fuck with her. They think that she's lame as fuck.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's what Frankie brings to the table. And what Gwendolyn brings to the table is an investigative mind that's just like, yo, Frankie, you're going about this all wrong. You're beating people up. You're beating the wrong people up. Like, you know. That's the shit that's where they need each other.
And I love this flavor of people not fucking with Gwendolyn, because it's like once the, what is it, the Sanders party?
The Spencer.
Spencer party.
The Spencer party.
Happens, like, when those big parties happen in high school, like, as long as you have weed or alcohol, like, those barriers come down.
And here's what I think it is. I think Gwendolyn made a fool of herself at this Spencer party. It might be even cool, like, to have an episode that's both years' parties intercut.
Ooh, I like that.
Like, so we have scenes from last year. I think Gwendolyn.
Very went. Euphoria, Edgar. This is why Kevin Hart wants to be in business with you. You can't hear what I'm saying.
I quit the show. I want everyone to know that I'm done. This idea 100% belongs to Bender now. I'm done. I never want to work on this ever again.
Cool. I'm going to mute you for the rest of the record. Let's keep going, guys.
Yeah, I'm getting
Frankie
so
shakes
hungry.
Down the reptile. Same. Frankie shakes down the Reptile Club kids. He is a hammer. Everything looks like a nail. He's not getting anywhere. And, of course, we're going to include the frogs are not a reptile thing. That could be a fun argument. Meanwhile, Gwendolyn is eyeing up every hype beast, no longer students with big feet, and not getting anywhere with them. She's clearly smart and resourceful, but she's not cool enough to fuck with anybody. Until she finds a kid. Oh, wait.
And so then I think.
What's the fix for this now?
Oh, wait, what?
Well, she found the kid with the size 17 feet in the current iteration of the beats, but sounds like we're getting rid of that.
Oh, like. Right. That's so a good question.
Maybe it's a simple fix. So let me read it and then I'll give the adjustment. Until she finds a kid with freakishly large feet, who happens to be the biology teacher's student assistant. His feet are almost certainly size 17, the same size as the NBA players. Maybe he stole the shoes. She begins shaking him down for his info until the student assistant is like, oh, great, another wannabe detective. Are you going to threaten to beat me up too? Gwendolyn is like, someone threatened to beat you up. The simple fix is there's a kid in the Reptile Club who is also a hype beast. And there is a large overlap in terms of people that own snakes and people that own $40,000 in snakes.
I like that. I like that of him being like, yeah, being like, man, ask your partner. And it's like, what partner?
Yeah. So it's a simple fix. It's just Reptile Club kid is also a hype beast. Cool. Someone threatened to beat you up, Gwendolyn asks. Cut to Frankie, who has a student cornered against the locker in an intimidating fashion. He's not getting anywhere, and the student runs off in fear. Reveal Gwendolyn, who's been watching, trying to be cool. Interesting approach to interrogation. What do you want, Gwendolyn? Same thing as you, to get the extracurriculars back. They talk about working together and form a shaky partnership. They agree to share info and find the culprit. Then school is out. Do you think they come together too fast?
No, I don't think so. I think that they're just like, What do you think? Harper's shaking her head.
No, I think that's a good timing.
Yeah, I don't think it's too fast either. I was going to say on the call, and I know we're not there yet, but on the call, I feel like Frankie could point out to Gwendolyn of like, why don't you like offer these kids, why didn't you offer those kids weed or anything like that? And she's just like, what do you mean? It's like, you have something that they want. Why don't you do that? And then Gwendolyn just like, why didn't you just ask those kids straight up? They idolize you and worship you. Like, you're so cool at socializing with people. They're both making each other realize things about themselves that they didn't even pick up on.
Yeah, I like that. And so here's my thing. I think it is like, so they say, they talk about working together. I say they don't form a shaky partnership here. I say they're just kind of like,
maybe we should work together. Yeah.
She's like, maybe we should work together. He's like, nah, I'm good. And like they part ways, and maybe there's some kind of hurt or whatever he brings up. I don't want to like, what's a pothead going to do to help me like investigate a crime?
Or he's just like, you're a walking disaster. Like, yeah. Like nobody likes you. I think I'm good on my own.
Yeah. But then we get to this part later than that at Gwendolyn's house. Her dad is upset about the cancellation of academic decathlon. This is going to be part of her sales pitch for Yale. Gwendolyn is annoyed and goes to her room to smoke up. While high, she's thinking about the case and the dead ends of the frogs and the shoes. She starts thinking about the video and pulls it up on TikTok. She realizes it's filmed from the perspective of a student. Why hadn't she realized this before? She texts Frankie. Over at Frankie's house, we see his home life and parents until he gets a text from Gwendolyn. He goes into his room to talk to her. We intercut their text convo. It's clear they're interested in figuring out which student filmed this and why and how it got into the Fielder's PowerPoint, but also they're making a small human connection. So I think this is the moment where we just put in everything you were saying, and that's when they realize, okay, like, we can help each other. And that's
yeah.
When, like, solidify their partnership.
Because here's something
to,
I think...
slow it down a little bit.
Here's something I think that's true about Frankie, is that he's wrong about why everyone likes him. He's wrong. Everyone likes Frankie because he's a sociable guy. That's what people like about him. I mean, the playing basketball is the plus, and it might be the avenue in which they pick that up. But there are plenty of dudes on the basketball team who probably aren't as beloved as Frankie is. And I think Frankie is an affable guy, and she's bringing that out in him. And I think for him, he's kind of showing Gwendolyn, like, you're kind of a cancer unto yourself.
Yeah. I like it. The next day, they're doing detective work to figure out who shot the video. They can identify the back of Diana DeGormo's head in the front row. Can decipher from there that the person sits three rows back and two rows over from her. In a quick montage a la the Ramona Flower scene in Scott Pilgrim, they eventually learn that the most likely person who shot the movie is Frankie's teammate, Steven Jackson.
Okay.
They go talk to Steven Jackson. Oh, go on.
I have a pitch here.
Let's hear it.
But it's for the pod.
What?
What if we called it right here? Because I'm so hungry.
Bro, let's power through. People are going to want to hear this. Oh, my God. Edgar, we've been recording for 30 minutes.
No, we haven't. We've been recording for 42 minutes.
Oh, shit. This is a great episode. Let's power through.
Okay,
let's power 42 through. Minutes, but feels like 30? Wow. This is a good show.
Oh, no. All right, keep going.
They go talk to Steven Jackson. Steven, usually calm, collected, cool, is actually very upset and near tears. Underneath his class clown exterior, he's pretty sensitive. He feels terrible that he's ruined the basketball season and everyone else's activities. He says he didn't intend for the video to lead to this. He thought Mr. Robbins was just asking him for a favor in return for giving him a passing grade so he can remain eligible for basketball. Gwendolyn and Frank are like, wait, what? A teacher is behind this? Dun, dun,
okay.
Dun.
That's why I feel like, all right, so this was kind of my pitch. I think we're giving away too much, man. I think we're giving away way too, like, I feel like Act 2 should, could, oh, no, go say what you're going to say.
No, you go. Give away too much to who, I guess is my question.
We're giving away so much story. Like, this is all, the teacher's thing could be its own episode. Like, and I feel like reducing it to a flashback, and I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but reducing it to a flashback just, like, takes out the oomph of it all. Where, like, realizing that it's Steven Jackson, the way you put dun-dun-dun, that's an episode end. Like, or like realizing that it's Steven Jackson in and of itself is an episode end. Like that's like, because
well,
I think
you know, we have to you know what to do. Maybe your pitch was right. Maybe we should call it here because this alters the Act Three that we have completely entirely.
Yeah, and that was my big note. Was just like I feel like we can push some of the story back because like that fun montage could be the opening of Act Three. Is like. They're just like asking all these people these questions and all that, and they get to what they want, and they pay a price for it because it's just like, oh shit, it's your teammate or whatever, like you know what I mean, like, and like, and maybe Gwendolyn pays a price for it. And I mean, yeah, we should talk this out.
Well, between now and next week, Edgar and I are going to be talking this out. So stay tuned for how this show will actually end. We love you guys. Bye.